Living Theology Friends, 1111, March 13th, 2011, The Church, Edition 10, Church Discipline. Hebrews 12, 5-8 talks about the discipline that God gives His children. And have you forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are not with discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. The above section of Hebrews deals with the discipline of God toward His children. Also Revelation 3, verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. As His church, we are His representatives, and just as an earthly father disciplines his children, God, through His church, disciplines His children so that their walk in the world is representative of His character. One way that God affects this discipline is in the local congregations of believers. Hebrews 12:12-13. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. The therefore is following a discussion on discipline, and the writer is now showing how this discipline applies in our daily walk in the world. The information given regards members of the congregation who need assistance. The use of hands and limbs is not meant to infer bodily discipline, but spiritual discipline and the proper use of the body. 1 Timothy 4:8, for bodily discipline is only a little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. There is a great difference between discipline and punishment. Punishment is about justice, and the punishment which was due Christians was suffered by Jesus. Discipline is about teaching and strengthening and encouraging. God disciplines His children so that they become more righteous in their walk in the world. Christians are to help each other in this walk. Hands that are weak cannot accomplish anything, so our discipline should result in strengthened hands that can accomplish His tasks. Knees that are feeble cannot uphold a person to walk a straight path. The author of Hebrews refers to a proverb, 4:26. Watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. The reference to the lame refers to members of the congregation of believers who are less spiritually able to proceed in straight paths. The more spiritually able among the congregation are not to put the lame aside, but rather to help them to be healed so that the entire body of believers can walk more spiritually mature. Christians do not function independently of other Christians, but they are to walk together in the paths directed by the Lord. The church will one day be presented pure to the Lord, Ephesians 5:27, that He might present to Himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. This perfection is only partially achieved on earth, but it progresses towards that purity, by the discipline of God that occurs in various ways. Sometimes the discipline is accomplished by Christians helping other Christians. Hebrews 12:15-16. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, that there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. The grace of God is available for every child of God, and each should eagerly continue to seek that grace in troubling situations. Sometimes a root of bitterness causes conflict in the church, or some member may engage in immoral actions. Jesus instructed His followers how to discipline people in the body of Christ, the church, when one member witnesses another member sinning. Mark 18:15-17. And if your brother sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every fact may be confirmed. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax gatherer. Discipline in the church is very important, but very few visible churches practice it. I've heard people say, "Judge not, lest you be judged," thinking they're being very biblical. Indeed, that is a quote. Matthew 7:1, do not judge lest you be judged. However, this verse is often taken out of context, for the remainder of the thought is, continuing in Matthew 7:2-5, for in the way you judge, you will be judged, and by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. And why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So Jesus states that we are to be careful about the standard by which we judge. John 7, verse 24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. We may think, for example, that people should not drink alcohol at all, and we judge them when they have a single glass of wine with a meal. But that's not a biblical standard and should not be used, as it is a self-righteous rule, and then the same rules may be used against the accuser. Before we judge someone else, we need to be sure that we're not sinning either in the same way we're accusing someone else or in some other way. This is not to say that only the pure of heart can judge anyone else. It is saying that we judge according to the command of Jesus that I read just a minute ago, John 7:24, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Christians are commanded to judge by righteous judgment and according to the process given in Matthew 18:15-17. As an example, in a local congregation, this usually begins when one member witnesses another sinning. He then goes privately to the offender. The person being accused may explain how there actually was no offense. But if there is an offense and the offender refuses to repent, the next step must be taken. Step 2, Matthew 18, verse 16, involves informing one or two church officers what has transpired and then going with them to the person who has sinned. If the offender still refuses to repent, then all witnesses inform the pastor. Step 3, Matthew 18, 27, involves the pastor taking the issue to the entire congregation. Treating someone as a Gentile and a tax gatherer is to treat the person as a sinner, one who practices sin. If the offender still refuses to repent, then he or she is excommunicated or loses fellowship with the congregation and participation in communion observances. The goal of all these steps is for the person to repent and come back into fellowship. Discipline is painful for all parties involved, but is part of God's process for cleansing the church. I see I made a mistake. Step 3 is Matthew 18, verse 17, not verse 27. Sorry about that. Okay, I hope that you have a wonderful week. Church discipline is a difficult topic, and it must be done carefully and with love. But the result, hopefully, is bringing people back to Christ.